Welcome to the Bethel Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit ibethel.org.
Thank you. You can be seated. Am I on? Yes, there I am. Okay. Couldn't hear you above the noise. Thank you. It's an honor. Oh, how are y'all doing today? It's a glorious day. Not because it's Super Bowl. I have no dog in this fight today. So, anyway, it's good to be with you. Okay. I have a scripture for you. 3 John 1:2. And by the way, hello everybody on streaming. I love you. Thank you for joining us today. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, I'm not talking to you about health today. Everybody take a sigh of relief. One of these days I will, though. But really, your soul is it, to have good soul health is just a given. It's so important to have your soul healthy and happy and free. So I just thought I would give you that verse today. There were three words at the beginning of the year that I really felt good about. And I want to share those words with you. One of them is grateful. One of our kids sent out Christmas cards this year, and at the bottom of it, instead of saying we love you or whatever, it was like grateful. And I thought, this is a year of being grateful. I mean, we are taught to be thankful and to be grateful. But I feel like this year is, we need to be really purposed in being grateful, in being thankful, because it releases so much more than we know when we have that kind of an attitude to be grateful in every situation. And some people are like, well, what about this situation? I don't know, but the Bible says to be thankful in everything. So it's our responsibility to do that. The second word is excited. I am excited about 2016. I don't really know why. Anybody else excited? Just have a sense of excitement, but you don't know why? So we're in for a big surprise, I guess. And expectant is a third word. I'm expectant. I'm expecting something incredible to happen this year. One day I was at home and sitting out in the back porch and just talking with God. And it was, I don't know, it was when it was still warm out, and I was just talking to God, and I was like, God, what's going on in the world today? What are you doing? I was just chatting with him, because, you know, it's just a lot of stuff going on right now, isn't there? Yeah. A lot of, if we allow it, scary stuff that's going on. And I was just talking with God, and I heard these words. I've got this. Yeah. I've got this. And it reminded me of several years ago, I had a woman here in the church that got saved and delivered out of abusive, satanic ritual abuse stuff. And she was still connected to some of that world only through acquaintances. And she wanted to get with me one day and tell me about what was going on in our region with the occult and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll meet with you. And so we met, and she told me, and I'm like, I'm a big girl, I can handle this. And so she told me all that she was seeing going on. And I went, okay, thank you very much. We had a good talk. And I went right over to the prayer house. And I started walking on the trail. And we have a, you know, if you've been here long enough, you know, we have a prayer house and trails and beautiful out there. And I just started walking. And I immediately felt Jesus come up to my side and grab my hand. And it was that feeling of best friends, shoulder to shoulder, talking secrets to each other. It was really sweet. But I noticed in his other hand that was free, it was clenched like this, and I kept looking over it in this vision. And finally he said, would you like to see what's in my hand? And I said, yeah, I would. And he opened up his hand and it was the globe, the world. And when he opened up his hand, I went, oh, you've got this. You're not worried about all this, the stuff. You've got this. And the world looks so little in his hand. He's got this. Well, we trust him. That's the biggest issue. Can we trust Jesus? Can we trust that he knows what he's doing? Then I heard this, hold on, it's going to be a wild ride. And I immediately thought of Disneyland, which I love Disneyland. Every time I go into Disneyland, I stand at the front gates and I went, this is the happiest place on the earth. And one of my favorite rides is actually a little kiddie ride. And it's Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure. I love that. And that's what I thought of when he said, hold on, it's going to be a wild ride. And it wasn't a negative feeling. It was, it's going to be wild. I really believe that one of the things the Lord is going to do this year is he's going to pass his goodness before us. It's not like he hasn't, but it's going to be multiplied more than ever. He's going to just pass his goodness before him, and it's going to be deposited to us. My husband is writing a book right now, and it's on the goodness of God. And it's one of the hardest books he's had to write so far. He's having a real, he's having to really push through writing this book. And I know why. Because some people in the body of Christ don't think that God is good. And he's breaking a mentality and a mindset that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. He is a good God no matter what. I really strongly believe we're going to see his goodness this year. See his goodness in the land of the living. This morning I want to do a few things. Yes, this is Blackwater. It's one of my health things. My doctor gave it to me this morning. Thank you, Jeanette. Healthy water. So anyway, I want to do a few things this morning. First, I want to talk to you about Caleb. I know everybody that knows me is laughing at me. I want to talk to you about Caleb. I love Caleb in the Bible. I love his story. I love his tenacity. I love the whole thing. And I know it's a story that we've heard before. So I'm going to share that with you. And then it's not going to be long because I want to use some time to pray at the end. So you're going to be interacting with me today at the end of the service. And I have some prophetic things I want to share with you. And we're just going to go after them, all right? You ready to do that? Yep. Okay. You got your Energizer bunny ready to go. Okay, Numbers chapter 13, where we're going to start in the story of Caleb. Now, we're all familiar with this story, and I'll start in verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up to this way into the south and up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests, there are not or there not. Be of good courage. Wonder why I said that. And bring some of the fruit of the land. They were going into a strange land they had never been in before, and who knows what in the world was there. And so Moses said, be of good courage. So what happens? He sends 12 leaders, 12 tribes, into this land to spy out the land. And they found it amazing. In fact, they brought back some big things of grapes, which grapes in the Bible represent victory. It was all laid out for them to take the promised land. And two men out of those 12 were ready. So they came back to the people and they reported to the people that yes, it was a beautiful land, but it had giants in it. And they were scary. So fear took over, and fear won. I want to tell you, don't let fear take your promises from you. I didn't say this in the first service, but I really feel strongly that this is a year that fear is going to be displaced in many of your lives that are fearful, that have a fear stance, that you lean towards fear, and that the Lord is going to righteously take it away. But you need to remember your promises, and you cannot allow fear to strangle those promises. It's not right. God's ready to meet your promises. He's ready to break through for you. Somebody was sharing with me in between the two services, and they said they were in this group, and they were sharing with them about, you know, all of that. And that he is just, it's just too good to let things go and to let them fall. So let's get back to the story. Caleb, after all the people were talking about the fear and freaking out, Caleb gets up and says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" They were a big band of people, thousands of people. And Caleb was like, "Forget it. Let's just go take it. It's ours for the taking." And it was almost like, I thought of this, it was almost like you could see Caleb going, "If we think too much about this, we're going to miss it. So let's not think about it anymore. Let's just go in and take the promise." And of course, we know the extent of the story that did not happen. So here we go. Now there's 40 years of waiting. And God said, "Okay, because of your fear, this whole generation of leaders is going to die off with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, because they believed." And God even said, "Caleb has a different spirit about him." But because of that, that whole generation died off, and the next generation would take the promised land. Now, can you imagine? I don't know about you, but when I read a story in the Bible, I like to put myself there. I like to know what's in between the words. So here's Caleb, a warrior, a leader of a tribe, and now he's stuck and not able for 40 years to go get his promise. That would be really frustrating. 40 years of taking tents down and putting tents up. 40 years of eating manna every single morning. Now, thank God that God provided that for them, but, you know, what can you do with that much manna? Not too many recipes, I would imagine. So in Numbers chapter 14, the people became very whiny and very fearful again. Caleb and Joshua said, "We need to go in. They are our bread. They are our bread." Let's talk about Caleb a little bit. Caleb's name back then meant dog. Now, that's not a good definition of a name. Obviously, Caleb means more than that now, thank God. But I just can't imagine being called dog all your life. And in the Bible days, names meant everything. So here you have a man that who knows how he was treated because of his name. And also, some people believe that he was adopted into the Judah tribe. Doesn't matter to me. He was a leader in that tribe, and that's all that matters. I believe that Caleb had an attitude. I think you would have to have an attitude to have to wait 40 years. Now, I hope that you're getting what I'm saying today. I'm talking to you about your promises, and some of you have been waiting a long time. What's your attitude? Do you have a radical attitude about this? Do you still believe that your promise is going to come true? No matter what anybody calls you or says to you? In Genesis 49:8, I want to turn there, because back in Genesis 49, Jacob is blessing his sons, his 12 sons that became the 12 tribes. So in Genesis chapter 41, let me find it here. In verse 8, you have the blessing of Judah, which was, Caleb was a part of that tribe. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be around the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you, and Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. Now, the verse I want you to pay attention to is where it says, your hand shall be around the neck of your enemies. The giants that they were afraid of that lived in the hill country or the mountains were called the Anak. There were three sons, and they were from the Anakin tribe or clan, and they were giants. And the definition of that word Anak means long-necked. Do you get that? Go back to the blessing. Did Caleb know about that blessing? Most likely he did, because in the Jewish communities, they share the story from generation to generation to generation. And I'm sure that Caleb knew that. So Caleb had seen those giants and was ready to take them and had to wait 40 years for them. That's a lot of waiting. And so when the day came and they decided, everybody had died off, but the next generation and Joshua and Caleb, and they said, now let's go into the land. And when they got into the land, Caleb said to Moses, I want the hill country. The very thing that kept me, the fear, the giants that kept me from the hill country, I want them. I've waited 40 stinking years. I am now 85 years old, which, by the way, he said in there, I am fit and strong. So he took care of himself. That's a whole nother sermon. I had to get it in there. I had to get it in there. I can't help it. It's a part of me. So here's this 85-year-old warrior ready for war. And it says he displaced all the giants out of the land, out of the hill country. And he took that hill country as his possession. I believe we are in a time where this is going to happen. We are going to see some promises. And I'm going to share with you some prophetic words that we are going to pray after today. You will understand why I am feeling so strong about why this is going to break this year. And we are going to see some breakthrough. And by the way, I have talked to people and it has already happened. There are things that are happening in their lives where they have been longing for a long time and they haven't happened, and they are all of a sudden happening. We are in a now season right now for this to happen and our promises to come about. So I just pray in Jesus' name that hope is restored in you today, and that the waiting that you have been waiting for, you will see a breakthrough this year in Jesus' name. Now, Psalms 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What a great verse. Seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are on the threshold of that, if not already seeing the goodness of the Lord go before us and in our lives. Now, I have got some prophetic words that I have been gathering from different people that we respect. And there's one of them that I want to talk to you about today, because we are going to pray into that. And Patricia King just had a prophetic encounter that she sent out to us, and I want to read it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's real long. But there is some great stuff in here. Waiting in the corridor. Immediately, I was in a corridor in front of a door. Although the corridor had a degree of glory in its atmosphere, the sign on the door said revival and produced an unquenchable passion in me to enter. An angel stood outside the door guarding the room. So some were approaching the door but could not enter because they did not have the right key. I saw one approach with a key called Hope. The angel smiled and said, "This key will not give you entrance into the room, but you can wait here in the corridor outside the room. Stay close to the door." Another came with a key called Desperation. How many are desperate for God? Yeah, well, that's not the key. Although it's a good key. And the angel said, "This will not permit you to enter." Yet another came with a key called Expectation. The angel communicated, "You are very close, but no cigar." That's not in there. I put that in there. "Remain here at my side." The key that opened the door. Many others came with various keys, but none of them were able to open the door, and the corridor was full of people waiting and longing to enter the room. One approached the angel showing the key called Faith-Filled Prayers. The angel's face lit up and proclaimed, "This is the key that will open the door," and the door opened. Now, in a prophetic word, she says, "The Lord says, I have prepared a revival for you, an outpouring of my spirit that will be filled with my glory, my fire, my love. Birth this outpouring with the key of faith-filled prayers. When you see the first signs, continue to pray and continue to birth. Do not simply remain in the corridor that has a measure of glory, but press through the passionate, faith-filled prayer and enter the room called revival. I will show you things that you know not. I will reveal kingdom mysteries to you in this season." Woo, that'll be fun. "I will demonstrate my power, and there will be a great harvest as the river of revival goes to the nations." I think this is connected to the Azusa thing that's happening in April. "Partner with me, for I desire to pour out my spirit in a new wave upon the earth in this hour. The keys of hope, desperation, and expectation are important keys, and they will position you in the corridor, but it is the key of faith-filled prayers that will open the door to the fullness of what I have for you and for all." Isn't that an amazing word? I love that word. So here we are with this, faith-filled prayers. So ever since I read that word, I went, what are faith-filled prayers? Is it screaming and hollering? Is it, what is it? I'm still processing. What is faith-filled? Is it something deep inside that happens to you? Bill mentioned a prophetic word, I think a week or two ago, that we had just received from a friend. And in part of the prophetic word, he said, there has been things in the heavenlies frozen for you. And, but it's beginning to thaw. Yeah. So I want to tell you today that the big thaw has begun. Now, am I talking about heaven, where it's at? No, I'm pretty sure it's in that second realm of heaven where it's angelic, demonic, it's in that realm. And years ago, I had a vision right down here. And I saw a vision of this picture of a whole group of people on the earth praying, and there was a whole bunch of them, and they were praying and they were worshiping. But as they began to worship, the unity came, and that all those people became one big man. And as they became one big man, in the heavenlies, there was this dark streak across the sky. And as they began to worship as one man, the glory of God began to filter through that darkness and break it up. And that's what I'm sensing, is that great thaw is happening. And we're going to see those things that have been held up. Anybody else feel like there's been stuff that's been held up? I know. A couple months ago, I wonder if there's things like I don't know if I remember saying the word frozen, but things in heaven that are stuck. And so when we got that word, I'm like, amen, I am so ready for that to happen. I mean, we all have these things that we've been praying into, and some for many, many years. And I'm just praying, and with faith-filled prayers, that thaw is going to thaw. Yeah. Now, Bill just got back from Miami. He was in a big Latino church, like 30,000 people, and it was a conference, and I mean, it was just something else. And he said, man, those Latinos are loud. And amen. They have a party when they get together. So, but there was a prophet guy there that gave him a word, and he spoke to the north of us. And he said, there is a witchcraft assignment over the north, but you will break it. Now, I'm not a person to find demons in every corner, okay? I don't like to do that. I like to find out what God is doing and dwell on that. But when you get a word like that, it's like, okay, what can we do? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray over two areas, the great thaw and this witchcraft assignment, okay? I don't know what it is, and let me just tell you about witchcraft. Witchcraft is control. Plain and simple. It's control. It's trying to control people's lives. And there apparently is something in this area that's trying to control. And we are going to break it today. We had a great time in first service already. So we're just going to add on to it and do our thing. So what I'm going to have you do is we're going to stand in a few minutes and we're going to pray together. And then when we're done, I'm going to have you sit down because I have two more testimonies to share with you. And then we're going to pray for people. Up here. We'll end the service. So go ahead and stand up. Now, we're not going to pray in English. So let me just tell you, we're going to speak in tongues. Now, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, this is the best time to receive that gift, because people are going to be praying around you, and they could care less what you're praying because they're focused on what they're praying. And we believe here that being baptized in the Holy Spirit and evidence with speaking in tongues or a different language is how it is manifested. And there is nothing greater than, for me in my life, people ask me, how do you pray? I speak in tongues a lot because I don't know half the time what the heck is going on. Just to be honest with you, and I need some clarity. So speaking in tongues helps me get that clarity because I connect with the Holy Spirit when I'm speaking in tongues. We told our kids when they were little, it's a secret language. They loved that. They were all ready to get that secret language. So what's going to happen if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit and we begin to pray, you're going to start hearing funny words in your head. And you need to take the risk and step out and say those words. That's receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It's a gift to you, and it's simple. It doesn't have to be hard. And I break off any past mindsets that you've had in Jesus' name, that you can receive this powerful, powerful gift from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray together, and we're going to lift our voices up, and we're going to speak in tongues. And when we're speaking in tongues, I want you to realize that you are going after this great thaw. Melt, 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 melt. And that you are also going after this controlling spirit in the north. Because enough is enough. You amening with me? Okay. Okay, so let's pray. Begin speaking in tongues. De la rabo kol de be la ramasi di andai. De la rabo kol de be la ramasi di andai la rabo kol. De la rabo sol de be la ramako ye de la ramasi. De la ramo koye de la ramasi di amarabo kol de be andai la boko. Be la ramasi di ande la rabo kol de be la ramasi. Woo! Yes! De la ramo kol de be la ramase andai. De la ramo kol de be la ramasi di ande la rabarabo kol de be. De la ramasi di ande la rabo kol de be la ramase di andai la rabo kol. Be la ramasi di andala rabo kol de be la ramasi di andai. see Jesus breaking down that wall in the heavenly realm. Because when that wall is being broken, he is breaking things open for you. There we go. Now, corporately, we address the controlling spirit, the witchcraft mindset in this northern part of California, and we say no more to you. We join together corporately, and we say you have no more power. The blood of the Lamb has conquered you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in this area, that you are bringing freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. You can be seated. Woo! Fun times. Fun times. It's nothing like good prayer meeting. Wow. I get to do this one more time, too. Yay! Kind of like these three service things, Eric. Okay. I'm going to share two testimonies with you, two healing testimonies, and then we're going to have, people are going to get prayer where they need it. This week, I had a fun experience, and I had a friend call me, and her back went out. She is flat out, can't move. She said, I'm a mess. Could you make me some oil and bring it over to me? So I made her some anointing, I made her some oil, and I took it over to her. And as I got out of the car and walked to her house, I was holding the bottle, and I just said, Holy Spirit, I just pray for your anointing on this oil. You know that's possible. It's in the Bible. The elders and the leaders anointed people for healing. In fact, the priests were the doctors of those times, and they administered oils and laid hands on the sick. And they recovered. So God, just anoint this oil. I walked into the house. The minute I walked into the house, I was talking to her husband. She got up off the couch. I said, oh, no, don't get up. She goes, oh, no, I can get up off the couch. Yeah. There was already something happening in the room, which is so fun. Makes it really easy. So and this is the funny thing. I wasn't going to pray for her. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just going to hand her the oil and leave. I'm like, that's not even who we are. I mean, if there's somebody sick, we're all over them. So I just thought, oh, can I pray for you? Can I anoint you with oil and pray for you? And she goes, oh, please do, obviously. So her problem was right back here. Is there anybody back here that has a problem right here on their neck this morning? Anybody? Okay, we're going to pray for that. In fact, as I'm talking, I want you to receive your healing, okay? Just receive your healing. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. So I put the oil on her, and I just gently touched her back. And she was all inflamed and just released healing. And this is what happened, I'm trying to think if it's ever happened to me before. It hasn't. I've never had this feeling. There was this peace that came into the room. It was peace. It was rest. There was no striving. It was like this is good. This is going to happen. And that peace, I've felt it before, twice before. Once was a vision I had that I went into heaven. And then the other one was right up here on this platform. And when we had the glory dust that was falling, How many of you are here for that? Anybody see that? Yeah. Wow, not very many people saw that. When that started happening, it would happen frequently. And one night I had left church and gone home early, and I started getting texts. It's back. Come back to the church. It's back. And so I came back to the church and I walked in. And when I walked in, I said, I am going to get right in the middle of this dust. Now, it had started moving all over the congregation, but it really accumulated in that corner. So I walked right up on the platform and I walked right into it. And it was like floating. I mean, you could, you know, you guys who were here, you remember, you know, talking, having conversations with people, and gold dust would float past your face. It was awesome. It was like, this is so fun, God. We are like Disneyland. That's not an insult. I think that's wonderful. And so, but this is what I felt. I felt peace. Now, we say peace. The peace I felt was no head clutter. That's the peace I felt. There's just this overwhelming, wonderful sense of peace that had everything that was cluttered just left. And that's what I felt when I was praying for this lady. It was just like, I wasn't expecting it. I just was praying for her, you know, like we always do. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, this is good. Is this perhaps what faith-filled prayers feel like? Perhaps. So, that later on that day or the next day, I met with a girlfriend. We were delivering some things, and we met together. And before I left, she said, oh, pray for my back. She was having lower back pain so much that she had to quit work. And she was trying to get help for that and all that. And she just was still in pain, and it was on her spine. She had some problems with some discs. And she said, I said, let me pray for you. And I said, oh, let me get my oil. So I grabbed this oil, same oil I used on the gal. And I put the oil on her spine. And the minute I put it on her spine, she began to laugh. Now, the thing is the other lady that I prayed for, when I left, she had sat on her couch and she just began to laugh. And this, my friend, did the same thing. She just started giggling. And all the pain left. And both of these women are completely well. They're completely healed. That's a fun day. When you're not expecting that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden it's there in front of you, and you're like, yay, God. So, do I want to make a formula out of my oil? No, I don't. But does God use things? Yes, he does. So I did bring my oil today, and what I'm going to have, we're going to pray at the end of the service. I'm bringing it to a close now, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have all the prayer servants come up. In fact, why don't I have all the ministry team? I used to call them prayer servants. Ministry team. Huh? Yeah, ministry team. Can you please come up now? Come up, bring your stuff, come up and get ready to pray for people. Because what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to pass my jar down the aisle, and I want you to not pour it in your hand. Put your finger on it, go like this. Thank you, Ben. And there you go. Yes, you can. So we're going to use this as a tool. And I said in the first service, I said, maybe we should just experiment with this. You know that if you've been here long enough, we do try things and we do experiment with stuff to see how it works. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for being here. I thank you that you use fun things like this. The Bible says anoint people with oil and they will be healed. So we are believing for that today, that is our faith proclamation, our faith-filled prayers, and may your peace come to them. In Jesus' name, that heavenly peace, that shalom of heaven, which means healing and well-being. So, Father, we release the shalom, the rest of heaven, into this congregation today in Jesus' name. Now, if you need prayer this morning, you can come up now and receive prayer. And, oh, by the way, if you need to get right with God, this is a perfect time to get right with God. So if you need to get right with God, we're going to have somebody put our freedom banner up. We need you to come right over here to the Freedom Banner and talk to somebody. They have their hands raised, and they will talk with you and bring you into salvation with Jesus Christ. So who's coming up here? Okay, come on up.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This weekly podcast is now being translated in several languages. Visit podcasts.ibethel.com.